We thank God for another day and the opportunity to be under His throne of grace and to listen to His word. Brethren, we've read our scripture from Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the bells and burned incense to carve images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms. But they did not know that I held them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to repent. And the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them. Because of their own counsels, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though he calls to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart turns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. Amen. That was soothing message, isn't it? Look at God out there saying this to us. And I have given this headline to the message: Christ's work of salvation. Christ's work of salvation. There is a saying, brethren, that a nation or someone without a history, that person or nation does not exist. You know that? If you are there and you don't have any history, no, you don't come from anywhere, no one knows you, your beginning, your end, then you don't exist. A nation without history is not considered to be in existence. We all have our history. And so from here, you could see God giving a history of Israel. Where he took Israel, how he moved with Israel, and how in every step he moved with Israel, Israel went back about 3 or 10 steps. But in all, God determined to secure Israel as his nation, as his child, as his son. And so we will see today how this also, in a way, affects us. We will see ourselves in the situation of Israel. How God, in his infinite wisdom, called us, led us, and redeemed us to be his own people, the work of salvation. I have been saved, I have been saved. Not by any good thing we did, but by what he did. He, God himself. And so, let's look at something in Psalm 80. We'll be coming back and forth to Hosea 11. So, get something to pin up there. It will be our reference point. Psalm 80 and verse 8. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cut out the nations and planted it. Israel is seen as a vine. And God himself took that vine from Egypt. You see it? And he planted it. Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Some say, I have accepted Christ, or let me show you accepted Christ. It is Christ who called you. He chose you. You know, when you were like, what? A clot of blood in your mother's womb. He told Jeremiah, I knew you. I knew you before you were born. So it was God himself who chose Israel. You remember when the twins were in the womb of Rebecca? God said, I have chosen the younger one. Who was Jacob to say, I have chosen God. I have accepted. No. It was God who chose Jacob. So God is saying here that for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. You see, so when we go back to Hosea, he said, yes, I chose you. I took you from Egypt. Brethren, Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. It's all about him. It's all about his doing. None of us. None of us. Isaiah 43. Let's start from verse 1. He said, but now that says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You see, he did it. He did it. Brethren, let's look at it. Who were we? We shall come to that. Let me not jump the gun. You see, Israel was nobody. In the scripture, that his fathers, Abraham's fathers, they were worshippers of idols. And he called Abraham. So in Isaiah 45, verse 4. Isaiah 45, 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. It tells us plainly that it's all by the work of God. It's all by the work of God. Because of love. Because of love. It was God's idea to create man to have a relationship with. But when man fell out in the garden, you know, that relationship got broken. And it was God's, you know, heart that, look, I have to make a way for man to get back to that relationship that I have planned for him, or I have planned to have with him. So brethren, we can see that it's all God's doing. God, he determined the number of years the nation of Israel or the Hebrews will spend in Egypt. And he planned, he did everything. Like how he secured Joseph in Egypt. The same way he secured Moses to deliver them. Moses could have died. Because at the time he was born, other kids were being killed. But everything was done by our good Lord. To see how he loved us, how he cares for us. Brethren, that is our calling. John chapter 6, verse 44. John 6, 44. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You see, we can say, oh, and I accepted God, and it is God, but through his mercy, that called me. You know what? I always say, the nature of man is not the type that wants to humble itself, be under authority. You get me? The nature of man is not like that. The nature of man is always to rebel. That is it. Even when a child is born, the first time, wow, he starts to exhibit that habit of rebellion. That is the nature in us. It is his grace that he called us and he gave us his spirit so that we can humble ourselves. Hallelujah. See? So brethren, everything is by God. He did it. In Exodus chapter 6. In verse 6. It says, therefore, say to the children of Israel. This was when Moses went to Egypt to confront Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. You know, Pharaoh was not ready to let the children of Israel go. But God gave him this assurance. He said, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. 8. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. And brethren, if you count the number of I, you get 7. Everything is God. You see, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Not your might, not your brain, your knowledge, your power. Nothing of us. Brother, he calls us. He redeems us. It is his work. He put on the cross for us. And so we see, with us, he calls us. He himself called us. And he knows us by our name. He knows us. The Bible tells us that. And he calls us also by our name. He knows and calls us by our name. So we see his tendency towards Jacob, his tendency towards the people of Israel is the same towards us. He knows us by name. And he calls us by name. Because we are his sheep. Hallelujah. Brethren, 1 Peter chapter 8. Looking at our circumstance of our calling, what is made of us. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 23. The same chapter 1, verse 23. And having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. Look at us. So, brethren, you see, we were not bought with anything like gold, silver that can perish. But the blood, look how precious we are. Even someone some time ago about how Joseph was able to buy the whole people of Egypt. Because of the hunger, you remember, they came with everything they had, and they gave it to Joseph. That, look, take this and give us food, and then we will be like slaves or servants unto Pharaoh. He has bought them with money. So Pharaoh owned everything in Egypt. God was speaking through us, through that, to tell us that his blood, the blood of his son, is the same thing, who purchased us. All right. So Peter is telling us, we were not redeemed with perishable things. No. We were redeemed that of Jesus. How important we are. Brethren, let's go back to Hosea chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalting. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I set you like Zeboim? And when I was preparing this note, I checked those Adma and the Zeboim. They were two cities that were destroyed alongside Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, so God here is saying, how can I destroy you like the way I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Because you do what? You backslide. You fall back. You do the same. You do the same. Well, like Israel, we fall back. There are times we go back. But thanks be to God. You know why? When I was studying this scripture, I was asking God, why, what is the cause of backsliding? What causes us to backslide? And I'll share with you what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's start from verse 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your head and your flock multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. Brethren, here I said, wow. And in most cases, it is true. When we find ourselves in the comfort zone, when everything is going well for us, we tend to forget. And this is where God, through Moses, was instructing the people of Israel that, look, when things are rosy for you, when things are going well for you, remember where we're coming from. Where you were coming from. And brethren, I used to remember when I was growing up, my mom used to say, hey, if you can't remember your yesterday, you see, if you can't remember yesterday, she used to say it in the local language. So I'm trying to, you know, say that, transliterate it. If you can't remember yesterday, then you don't have like ungrateful or something. Because as a person, you need to remember your past so that you'll be grateful for today. Do you get it? Yes. The children of Israel forgot where they've been before, how they were, what they were doing. And the Bible says when they were slaves in Egypt, yeah, they were in bondage. Their backs were breaking. And when God, through His mercy, and the same thing with us, when we were under the element, when we were in the world, the same thing. You might think you are enjoying, everything is fine, but there are consequences. You see, the Bible says we shouldn't envy people in the world because there are consequences. We see them enjoying, you know. I'm not saying money is not. No. I pray, it's our prayer that the Lord will bless us. Hallelujah. But we should not forget where we are coming from. Where we're coming from. Paul says something in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, brethren, and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You see, the more you see God's goodness, the more you see His forbearance, His kindness, His faithfulness, the more we should be humble. You see, repentance here is what? Change of mind. Change of mind. It's not the way people understand it. Brethren, do you get it? But it's change of mind. So the more we see God's glory, the more we see His goodness to us, the more we see His wonderful work towards us, to help us to have change of mind, to humble ourselves. You see, so Israel, after seeing the mighty work of God, after seeing all those wonderful things, those awesome things, they should have had that. But rather, it went the other way. What in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is telling us? After occupying Jericho, Canaan, that mighty buildings, all those things. Brethren, in Luke, there's a very beautiful story. In Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5. You see, the goodness of God, see that faithfulness, His kindness, all those, every day when we wake up, that should humble us. Let's start from verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon asked and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Brethren, you see, who knows something better than the person who does it? Jesus Christ, we are told, is not a fisherman. Was He? Was a carpenter's son, a carpenter. Yeah? But these are fishermen who had been fishing right from the word go. They were born into that trade. And they know that fishing can only be done during the night. I said, "Look, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But your word, we will do it." And when they had done this, They caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Brethren, do you get it? Look, which of this led to Peter's changing of his mind, or led to his repentance? The goodness of God, or rebuking Peter? You know, there are times when we see people sin, that's where we, you know, we rebuke them the more. But from what we read in Romans chapter 2:4, the goodness of God that leads to repentance. But we see here the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ. You see, by giving them that haul of catch, led Simon Peter to repent. He said, "Depart from me, God, for I am a sinner." The goodness of God led Peter to have a change of mind. You see it? And there, Christ told him, "Look, now, you will be catching men, not fish." Hallelujah. His destiny changed from there. The goodness of our God. Goodness of our God. Hallelujah. Our God is good. And it's my prayer that every day, when we see His goodness around us, when we see His faithfulness around us, help us to have that renewal of mind. It will help us to change our mind. That wouldn't be like Ephraim, Israel, after enjoying and seeing the wonderful work of God. Because what God did to the people of Israel, what God did for them, the nations around them became afraid. They were scared. And you remember when Moses sent the 12 spies to Jericho? Rachel said something. He said, "Look, we've heard what your God did for you, and we are scared." Brethren, put yourself in the shoes of Israel. This is what God has done for me. That's how I say it. And that's what He's done also for you. And so the people around you are scared of you. May not know. They are scared of you. So they are happy when you are going down. They are happy. I thank thee to God. Hallelujah. We have something. Is it the Spirit of God in us? Ah, brethren, help us. That should make us, you know, always feel thankful. But it's the Spirit that leads us, it's the Spirit that guides us, it's the Spirit that guides us. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Hosea, brethren. We are approaching the end of it. 11. In verse 9, it says, "I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man." You see, He will not do that. He has promised. Because we remember in Exodus, He said, I will remember your sins to the third and fourth generation. So when you sin, know that right down to the third and fourth generation, your sins will be remembered. Our fathers have sinned. Our fathers committed blunders. Yes. I said, "For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror." Hallelujah. He will not come with terror. And how did God do it? How did He do this? How did God do this? In Isaiah chapter 52, He said, "Awake, awake." Verse 1. "Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. 3. You have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. Hallelujah. We see here God's plan to save his creation, to save, to redeem man. He doesn't want to be angry with man no more, because at the time he was angry with man, and so he destroyed man. And he made a promise, a covenant with Noah, that he would never destroy man again. You know the story of the rainbow? Very good. So he says, I will never ever destroy man again. Water. And so he has promised, and that is word. For brethren, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so no matter what, that penalty must be paid. That penalty must be paid. And so in verse 10 of chapter 52, it says, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. His holy arm, his right arm. And so when we go to chapter 53 of Isaiah, we see the promise of the Messiah's death to pay for that. Do you see it? It says, who has believed our report? Verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The Lord has made bare his holy arm in 52:10. And then, to whom has the arm, that's the arm of the Lord, been revealed? The Son. You know that? And so we see the description of his death in chapter 53. Verse 7, 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Heaven. You see, God, for the love of us, his only begotten Son from God. There was a day I was trying to picture how Christ came. Look, I did the best I could. I couldn't. Then I went to someone, a very respectable. I said, look, this thing I don't like. I said, look, if you say he was born, it can't work. He was not born. I said, like the Bible, the word of the Bible, he was begotten of the Father. I said, look, he was from the Father. Take yourself. And then something coming out of you. Do you see it? Yes, thou Christ came. He was from the Father. So he was part of the Father. It was the Father himself who came. You get it? Begotten of the Father. Oh, that was deep then. And so we see God himself giving himself as to die, go through that painful death for us, in order not to be angry. And so we move on then to chapter 54. It starts from 52, 53, 54. 54 verse, let's start from 7. It says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I'll will have mercy on you. This is the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah will no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Hallelujah. Brethren, let no one scare you that God is angry with you. We are His children, and this is His word. He's not angry with us. No, He is not. Hallelujah. 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who have mercy on you. Hallelujah. What good news. So if God told Ephraim, Israel, God gave him this assurance. And that time, they didn't see it clearly the way we are seeing now. You see, they didn't see it clearly because they lack the Spirit. Here we are. We have the Spirit of God in us, and we are seeing it on a bigger scale. Go out there. No matter what you are going to, no matter what, let's be consoled by this. Let's be strengthened by this. That look, His kindness shall never. Let's go to the final scripture. It's already 9 o'clock. Let's go to our final scripture. Romans chapter 8, 32. Let's start from verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who? What? Ask him, who can be against us? 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Brethren, look, God said, how can I? Let's go back to that place. I want us to get it. Yeah, in Hosea chapter 11:8, he said, how can I give you up, Ephraim? You see, how can I give you up? Look, God is like, he's finding it so impossible to give up Ephraim. How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I do that? So for God not to give up on this, for God not to give up on Israel, he has to let his son do what? Go. Do you get it? How can I give up Ephraim? How can I give up Israel? So in order not to give up on us, he had to send his son. So he made his son the sin, that we will become the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. So if he did not spare his son, us, because of us, he did not spare his son. Brethren, let this alone console us. If we are going through any problem, anything, yeah, and we think God is not going to help us, then we see it like that thing is bigger than his son. Do you get it? No matter what I'm going through, I know it's not bigger than what he gave me, his son that he gave me. Because if he has given me his son, he continues to say, what else will he not give us? Not only that, but with his son also. Uzziah. And if you start from chapter 1, you will see how God called him and asked him to marry a prostitute. And he gave him all the names, the children he gave birth to. Name him this, name him that. See, they said that, my life, that's how it is. It's every time. It's work of salvation, brethren. There is a song we sing. Is the Father's love for us, you're no man. Brethren, that is the key of his love for us. Go out and keep it in our mind, and we'll let it always hum in our heart that he loves us. Amen.